Last week we talked about the influence of East Semitic on the Tanakh, specifically from the linguistic point of view. This is of course a tipa bayam, this is a drop in the water, in the sea. Just wanted to arouse your appetite, and the appetite of Rabbi Shammah and Rabbi Berry, so they invite me next year. Two for series of lectures, we will continue. The last time I spoke about something very interesting about this tzalaf business, you remember? Lo ma'aleh ve lo murid ela kematzlif. I want to share with you something, an article would come either in tradition or in Bet Mikra, a continuation of this, but from the literary point of view. Allow me, I think you'll enjoy it. My daughter was studying in Ramaz at the time that I was writing the article on Tzalaf, and we were studying the book of Amos, Sefer Amos. And you know that Sefer Amos starts, if you start Perek Aleph and Bet, and I'm going to devote 5 minutes to it, and then I'm going to go to Northwest Semitic. In Amos, because of Tzalaf business, because of this cross thing, Amos, if you remember, starts his prophecies to the nations, right? Very, very famous. Amos Perek Aleph, at Perek Bet, verse 16. Vayomer Adonai Mitzion Yishagu Mirushalayim Yiten Kolo Vavlu Neot Ro'im Vyavesh Rosh HaKarmel. Kho Amar Adonai Al Shloshe Apishai Demesek Val Arba Halo Ashivenu. And then he continues. And then in Pasuk 6, Kho Amar Adonai Al Shloshe Apishai Azav Al Arba Halo Ashivenu. And then V'ichrati Yoshev Me'ashdo Tomech Shevet Me'ashkelon. And then you have Ashkelon and Akron. So you have Aza, Ashkelon, Akron, Ashdod. And then he goes to Tzor, Ashlosha Pishai Tzor, Val Arba Halo Ashivenu. And then in verse 11 he goes to the Psha'im Shel Edom, Ashlosha Pishai Edom, Val Arba Halo Ashivenu. And he ends in Perek Bet with Psha'im Shel Moav. Ko Amar Adonai Ashlosha Pishai Moav, Val Arba Halo Ashivenu. על שורפו עצמות מלך אדום לסיד ושלחתי אש במואב ואכלה ארמונות הקריות ומת בשעון מואב בתרועה בכל שופר ויכרתי שופט מקרבה ואת שריה אהרוג עמו, אמר אדוני. ואחר כך הוא עובר לפשעים של יהודה. כה אמר אדוני על שלושה פשעי יהודה ועל ארבעה לא הושיבנו. הפשע הוא פשע עדתי על מועסם תורת אדוני פה כתב לא שמרו. And then the climax of course is כה אמר אדוני על שלושה פשעי ישראל ועל ארבעה לא הושיבנו. וכל הפרק, וכל המשך הספר זה על ישראל, ושהם יודעים שעמוס came from Tkoa to prophesize to the north. Question is, my daughter asked me when we were studying with Ramah, says, Abba, why Amos picked these nations like this? Why does he start from Damascus, and then he goes to Aza, and from Aza he goes to Tzor, and from Tzor he goes to Edom, to Botsra?
So he's crisscrossing.
Absolutely, sir. This is my article. He's crisscrossing. What does he do? Now, nobody saw it. Piles of articles have written Ma HaSeder, why Amos picked this this sequence. 10 or 12 various reasons. Political reasons, geographical reasons, and this, I told Tafat, he does a crisscross. What does he do? Amos does something very, very Damascus, Aza, Tzor, Botsra. Ahad, Shtaim, Israel, Yehuda. You know what he did over here? He drew the letter Taf in ancient Hebrew, which is the end letter, the last letter of the Hebrew, and which is a sign of a cross. If you see it, it's a very, very, very famous X in Greek later on. And he abolished everything. So, Im Amos Diber, I summarize this you for 2 seconds, but the article is long. Im Amos Diber, Ashlosha Pishai Damesek Vla Robah Alo Ashivenu. על שלושה פשעי עזה, על שלושה פשעי צור, על שלושה פשעי מואב. You're all out from the map. Now that's very important. If Hamos
Edom, Amon, Moab, he put together because they're all together.
Right. But he put Botsra over here, Rabbi, and he put Azza over here.
Right.
Now I measure the distance. You know the distance between miles as a crow fly between Damascus and Azza and Tzor and Botsra? 1.25 miles. Isn't it amazing?
No. What do you mean?
What? The distance.
I mean, 125.
The difference between.
The difference. Oh, the difference.
It's 1.25 miles. It was almost a perfect X, a perfect taf, which means an end. And taf is the sof. Vaytav tav, and tav means a mark. Huh? No, it's kav al kav. Kav al kav, tav al tav. No, I think it's kav al kav. I think it's tav as a mark of business. Also in business, they used to cross it this way. The Tutsiliptu, Tutsalafim. And this was the upshot of that. Just I wanted to share it with you.
Right, it's very good.
I think so. My wife liked it a lot. Okay. I had to share it with you. It's going to come in Be'ezrat Hashem in tradition, if not in Bet Mikra again. They ask for this article, and of course I discuss the whole idea, the whole method. You see, in these 16 Psukim for Amos, there's a tremendous method of poetry. He uses a lot of method, but I cannot go into it because this is not the session. Now, last time we spoke about East Semitic and the influence of East Semitic upon Hebrew. Now, while East Semitic is a syllabical language, that each syllable, the two or three syllables makes a word, Northwest Semitic is a consonantal language, meaningly that if you have consonants, 26 consonants in Ugaritic and 22 in Phoenician, 22 in Hebrew, now you don't know how to read the word until the people of Ben Asher and Ben Naphtali, the people from Tveria, come and vocalize the text. Because the text was not vocalized, you realize that. Until the 6th century, 7th century AD, after the era, CE rather, the text was not vocalized. Lo kamas, lo patach, lo shum davar. Hagdula shel ben Asher ben Naphtali, specifically Aaron ben Asher, the Keter Aram Tzuva, the vocalization of the text. So if the text is not vocalized, you don't know how to read the word. You don't. That's why most of the East, West, or Northwest Semitic belongs, just a short preview, belongs to what you call there are two branches in Northwest. Northwest is Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, and Moab and Edom. So East, Northwest, and South Semitic. South Semitic is, of course, ancient Nabataean, Gez, Ethiopian, and of course Arabic, South Semitic. That's not my field. Northwest is very interesting. What languages were spoken in Northwest? The Canaanite dialect. What Canaanite dialect, what languages within, or dialect within this Canaanite dialect were included? Hebrew, Ugaritic, Phoenician, Moabite, and ancient Hebrew inscriptions. Two, belongs to the Northwest Semitic is Aramaic, but Aramaic is not a Canaanite dialect. Why? One of the most important things in Aramaic is that the definite article is always in the end. Malka, while in Northwest Semitic is Hey, Hamelech. This is a clear and very important, and many others. I'm not going to talk about Aramaic in Hebrew. So, we have inscriptions. Ugaritic goes all the way to 18th century, 20th century before the era, at the time of Abraham. Phoenician, the oldest inscription, is 10th century, at the time of David. Aramaic, old Aramaic, 10th century until the 8th. Hebrew inscriptions, we have very, very little Hebrew inscriptions, but the oldest one is the Gezer calendar, which is called Luach Gezer. It is the month of the year according to the agriculture or not, seasons. Then we have, of course, the very famous the Shiloah inscription. Then after the Shiloah inscription, we have the Lachish inscription at the time of Yirmiyahu. Shiloah inscription in the 7th century in the time of Hezekiah, when they made the tunnel of Shiloah. By the way, I made the Xerox copy. And then, of course...
The Gezer calendar is 9th century?
9th century. 9th century is the Gezer calendar, maybe 10 even. 10th century, rather. Not 9, 10th century. 925, 10th century. The time of a little bit after Shlomo. Albright says that the Gezer calendar is an exercise of a student. So what do we have? Then you have, of course, the Moabite inscription of Mesha Melech Moab, and few Ammonite inscription, the very famous Bilam inscription, that, for instance, if I was teaching a course, I would, you know, teach you the Phoenician inscriptions. Very, very interesting. You know, you take the text, you master the alphabet, the ancient Hebrew alphabet, Ktav Ratz, Ktav Datz, and then it's beautiful. By the way, I have a little surprise for you, because we're going to study a little Phoenician here today. I made a Xerox copy of a few inscriptions, but I made only 15 copies, so it's not enough, but be it as it may, we will study it. But before this, I want also to speak about the very two important Northwest Semitic branches of Semitics. Is the Mari letters. Have you heard about Mari? Yeah, sure. Yeah, you could take them. Have one. Yeah, take this, it's for them. Yeah, okay. The Mari letters. Now, Mari, anybody heard about Mari? Mari was a very, very important city in the 18th century before the era, at the time of Abraham. Mari was located exactly where Dura Aeropus is. Now, Dura Aeropus is a very famous synagogue of Dura Aeropus in the bench of the Euphrates. In Mari dwelled Northwest Semitic group that wrote in Akkadian. But that Akkadian was a Mishprachen. Ladino, Yiddish. Ben classical Akkadian, between classical Akkadian and Northwest Semitic. So you have a lot of Northwest Semitic words. Northwest Semitic means Hebrew, Finnish words, already in the 18th century. You know what? This is an Otsar. Because the oldest Hebrew inscription that we have is the Gezer calendar, apart from the Tanakh, which was orally transmitted. Orally transmitted, and that it was written down, and that it was canonized at the time of Rabbi Akiva, the 18th century. Mari. The Mari letters, the Archiv Royal de Mari, the excavation was done by the French, and you have maybe 15 or 16 volumes of letters that were written, letters in economic texts, that were written in the 18th century before the era, at the time of Abraham, when Abraham came from Mesopotamia to Canaan, written in Hebrew, in Akkadian, and Northwest Semitic. Apart from Mari, you have another important document that we could study about the Hebrew language in ancient time from the 14th century before the era, meaning at the time that Avotenu were in Mitzrayim. Anybody? The Amarna letters. Letters of Amarna. Now, what is Amarna? Amarna was a very, very famous city in Egypt. The very, very famous king was Akhenaton, which the American knows him as King Tut, you know, because of the exhibition in the Metropolitan Museum. Akhenaton, or Amenemopes the IV. He was a revolutionist, just for you words, he was a revolutionist that moved, and he wanted to. He was also a cripple. He was not a military man like his father, Thutmose III, that conquered until Aram Naharaim. He himself got married to the very famous woman Nefertiti and moved his capital from Thebes to Amarna. He is so-called the first monotheist, the so-called, which Freud took and built the whole business of Moses and monotheism. You know, there were two Moses, this is a college theotelic of Freud. He was not the first monotheist, because if he was the first monotheist, we would not worship the sun god, the re god, and also himself. Monotheism is Rak Hashem, Rak Anachno monotheism. In the Amarna letters, you have letters that were written by sheikhs of city-states. Canaan at that time were divided to city-states. Urshalim, Ashkelon, Shechem, Ashdod, Hebron, Gubla, which is Gval, which is Byblos, and many, many other city-states. We know a lot about Jerusalem from this period of time, and Jerusalem at that period of time was a Jebusite city, it was a Hurrian city. And how do we know? Because the king was Abdi Heba, and Abdi Heba means the servant of the queen, servant of the goddess Hepat. And the goddess Hepat was a Hurrian goddess. If you read the article in the New York Times a week and a half ago concerning the excavation in the Hurrian land, you read it? Very famous article. Found many Hurrian inscriptions, which bring us close also the Hurrian to some. So, in the Amarna letters, those sheikhs wrote to the king in Akkadian, but their Akkadian was a broken Akkadian. Akkadian, not a native, classical Akkadian. Not now, later. And a broken Akkadian. So, meaningly, this Akkadian was very, very important for us from the point of view to know about the Hebrew of 14th century Amarna. How they spoke Hebrew in the 14th century. I once gave a course about the glosses of Amarna. What is the glosses of Amarna? Well, I'll start with this first. It was an Akkadian word. And this is the sign for the gloss. Now in Akkadian, Elipu means what? A boat. If anybody knows Aramaic, this is the Aramaic word Ilpa, a boat. What is the Northwest Semitic word for Elipu? Is Anayi. Now here is the Hebrew Onia. Hebrew Onia. First time it tested a non-biblical text, 14th century before the era. So he says Elipu, then he makes a gloss, Anayi. He explains what Elipu is. What are the reasons of the glosses is exactly like Shamanim Daber Revit, Pitomani Machim Targemet, Tatsmim, Yivrit Langlit. I'm translating myself. So those glosses were very, very important. For instance, if he would say, Ana Katishu, which is a classical Akkadian to mean in his hand. In biblical Hebrew you say Beyado, nachon? Huh? You know what you say in Amarna? Badihu. Badihu. So most probably Yaakov, when he says in his hand, he said Badihu. He didn't need that, say Beyado. 100%. We could learn a lot. Why? Because the Northwest Semitic, or the, if you want, the Canaanite or the Hebrew, is vocalized. Because it's written in syllabical script. It's not written in the consonantal script, as you have in front of you the pages that I gave you. Badihu beyado. Give you another example. He writes duru, which everybody knows in Aramaic, which is dura, which is what? Wall. City wall, Durairopus. What will be the Hebrew word for this? Humitu. And this is Hebrew. Humit. So you know that the Hebrew word humit is the earliest form of Hebrew Homa. you see what I mean? Are you with me? Duru is the Akkadian word. He makes a gloss sign, this sign, and he writes Humitu. Which he, Humitu is really Humit, which is really Hebrew Homa. Now you ask me, the professor, does the word Humit is attested in the Tanakh? I say yes. Open with me, please, Mishle. Oh. Baruch Hu. All right. Chokhmot? I mean, of course, no, I'm bad. First chapter, verse 20. Shlomo praises the wisdom, and he says, Chokhmot b'chutz taronna, barchovot titen kola. Now, there's some problems here. Anybody could see grammatical problems, and this is also very important for Northwest Semitic. Chokhmot b'chutz taronna, barchovot titen kola. What is wrong with the pasuk from the grammatical point of view?
Plural singular.
So what do you do? Where is the plural? Chokhmot, okay. B'chutz taronna is plural or singular?
Singular.
Echa'akul mana chokhmot taronna ma'u lo da'a dikduk? It doesn't know grammar. It has to be chokhmot b'chutz taronna. B'chavot titen kola. Well, the poetic license is going to solve everything in life. No. The most ancient Northwest Semitic ending of the feminine is tough ending, not hey ending. So, and the people that vocalize already did not understand it, and the vocalize is a plural, chokhmat. It's not chokhmat, the wisdom of. It's not in the construct. Is chokhmat means wisdom. Chokhmat b'chutz taronna. I wish I had time to show you some other tough, and it was no end because I have so much material for today. Chokhmat b'chutz taronna barchovot titen kula, or a little bit more modern, chokhmah b'chutz taronna. One wisdom barchovot titen. But this is not the point. The point was of chomit. So where is the wisdom sings? Chutz means the street. It's parallel to Rehov. We know it. It's parallel. In a minute, I'll give you permission to ask a question. Chokhmot b'chutz tarona, barchovot titen kola. Berosh homiyot tikra, b'fitche sha'arim ba'ir amarea tomer. Berosh homiyot means very little. It has to be berosh homiyot. At the top of the city walls, in the gates of the city walls. What's berosh homiyot? The head of the noisy places. Berosh homiyot. Singular homiyot, amarna, plural homiyot. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Efa chokhmah shara? Barchov, b'chutz, b'fitchei sha'arim, on the top of the city wall. Come, my sons. Mad homiyot. So, this is very, very short about the Amarna. I finish with the Amarna. What, in Amarna letters, we have 182 letters. And more, 252 letters. That if you study the letters, you could really recognize ancient Hebrew of the 14th century before the era, because it cannot be mistaken as far as the date is concerned. We know the Amarna period. The next, I will give you permission in a few minutes. You want to ask something, please? Because Mishle is a very ancient poetry, and the poetry of wisdom literature is very ancient.
I mean, they took very ancient poetry and brought them.
That's right. That's right. Do you have the ancient form over here? You could see it very clearly. Homiyot means very little. Never hear of homiya. Yes, isha homiya soreret b'chol beta, a noisy woman. You know, when they speak about the prostitute. In chapter 7 in Mishle, but Homiyot is very clearly. Now I want to go as far as Northwest Semitic, but this Amarna is 2 years course. But I just want you to feel that those letters are tremendously important from the point of view of grammar, of phonetics, if you know how to express the ancient Hebrew at that time, and also Mari. Mari is a very, very important city, as I said. Now, all of you know, or maybe you know it already, that one of the most important things in Mari are the treaties that the Mari people, Yahdun Lim and Zimri Lim, Zimri Lim means the God Lim is strong, is exactly Lahavdil Elef Alveav, the Lord Zimriya. Zimriya has nothing to do with the song of God. It's Damar, it's Hazak. Yahdun Lim, Zimri Lim, all those kings, what? Oziv is Zimratia. Those kings were made a lot of treaties, what you call vassal treaties, with all kind of small groups of hordes that were roaming around and trying to break into Mari, because Mari was New York of the time, in the West Coast. The East Coast was Babylon. Mari was in the West Coast. Hammurabi conquered Mari later on, in the West Coast. So they made a lot of treaties. A very, very famous treaty that was made between Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ben Israel, and please all of you open Bereshit, Perek Tedvav. Brit Ben Abitarim. And you know, in Brit Ben Abitarim, of course, it says the following. It's very, very clearly a case of a treaty, which you have in introduction. ויאמר הרב אני אדוני אשר הוצאתיך מארץ מצרים מארץ מאור כשדים נתתי לך את הארץ הזאת לרשתה. And then ויאמר אדוני במה אדע כי ירשנה. ויאמר אליו קחה לי עגלה משולשת ועז משולשת ועיל משולש ותור וגוזל. 3 years old. עגלה, 3 years old, עז משולשת, 3 years old, עיל משולש ותור וגוזל. ויקח לו את כל אלה ויוותר אותם בתווך ויתן את ביתרו איש רעהו לקראת רעהו ואת הציפור לא ותר. אוקיי? מה יש לנו פה? We have a treaty. And you know what we have over here? You have the signature of the treaty. Do you realize this? The Ma'avar Ben Abtarim, Ma'avar Ben Abtarim, and the continuation, Vayered Ha'ayit, Al Abgarim, Vayashav Otam Avraham. The Avara Ha'Ma'avar Ben Abtarim, which is in verse 17, Vayashem Eshba'a Va'alataya, והנה תנור עשן ולפיד אש אשר עבר בין הגזרים האלה ביום ההוא קראת אדוני ברית אברהם. At that time, once השם עבר בין הבתרים בדמות של לפיד אש וכנראה אברהם, ביום ההוא קראת אדוני ברית את אברהם. How do you make treaties in ancient Near East? In Mari. In Mari, you take an animal, you cut the animal to 2 pieces, and you pass between the pieces of the animals, is exactly like you sign a treaty today with your pen. So you have various ways of consuming a treaty at that time. One of them is Bisauda. As we know, Eliezer Zamesek, he didn't want to eat. Why didn't he want to eat? He didn't want to eat. Until I care, et Rivka, az ani shev itcha lechol. Ha'achila az ha'inyan shel hatima shel ha'brit, or ha'chose. We have a beautiful, beautiful text from Mari. And the Mari, it says, I'm going to quote you Mari, 18th century. This is a treaty with the people of Idramatz. Ana ashalaka alikma, ana chayarim katalim biritchane u Idramatz miranam u chazanam ishushunima bili aplahma miranma u chazam ul addin chayarim aratanim anaku u shaktil salimam biritchane u Idramatz ashku. Translation. I went to Ashlaka, Ana Ashlaka Alikma, Ana Chayarim Katalim Biritchaneu Idramatz Mirana Muchazanem Shishuna. They brought to me a young dog and a she goat in order to conclude the covenant to kill a donkey or a fowl. Beli aplahma miranam uhazam ul addin. But in deference to my lord, I did not permit the use of a young dog and the she goat, but instead had a donkey or fowl of a young or of a she ass killed, and thus established a reconciliation between the Chanyans and the land of Idamaratz. I'm going to write you something here. What did he kill? A young fowl, right? תרגום לעברית. You would love this. חיירים מר עתנים. עיר בן עתונות. עושרי לגפן עירו ולסורקה בני עתונו. מה מקביל לעיר? בן עתון. חיירים מר עתנים. חיירים the son of עתון. Now, mind you that Akkadian doesn't have an Ayin. Which this really is. Ayir ben Atonot. This little precious thing. Ayir ben Atonot. Tested only twice. Here and in Zechariah. HaMashiach. Nachon? So מה הוא אומר פה? What does he say? חיירים מר עתנים ושקטיל, קטלתי או הרקתי עיר בן עתנות, שלום בן הנה ואידרמס השקנתי אשכון. This is the way of making treaty. You like this? You would like Jeremiah more. Take a look at Jeremiah 34:18, because Jeremiah referred to this type of the treaty. And Isaac shel Avadim, with the wizards of the slaves. Jeremiah, what did they say? 34:18. Excuse me. Yirmiyahu, Kaf Dalet. 34, I mean Lamed Dalet, I'm sorry. 18. Remember it was the business of the slave there? מקץ, let's read from 14. מקץ שבע שנים תשלחו איש את אחיו העברי אשר יבחר לך, ועבדך שש שנים ושלחתו חופשי עמך, ולא שמעו אבותיכם אליי ולא יטו את אוזנם. ותשובו אתם היום ותעשו את הישר בעיניו לקרוא דרור איש לרעהו, ותכרתו ברית לפניי בבית אשר נקרא שמי עליו, לכרות ברית. צהל עמם אשקנו, להשכין ברית, לתת ברית, לתת שלום, ותשובו ותחללו את שמי, ותשיבו את עבדו, but you return back and have the slaves again. ואיש את שפחתו אשר שלחתם חופשיים נפשו, ותכבשו אותם להיות לכם לעבדים משפחות, לכן כה אמר אדוני, אתם לא שמעתם אליי לקרוא דרור איש לרעהו, ואיש לקרוא דרור איש לאחי ואיש לרעהו, הנני קורא לכם דרור נאום אדוני, אל החרב, אל הדבר, ואל הרעב, ונתתי לכם זוועה על כל מחוזה. ונתתי את האנשים העוברים את בריתי אשר לא הקימו דברי הברית אשר כרתו לפניי את העגל אשר כרתו לשניים ויעברו בין בתריו. גמרנו. Centuries after ברית בין הבתרים, ירמיהו still mentions the cutting the making of the treaty. How strengthened, how strong the Reshit Tedvav becomes. First time, I could analyze it, the whole thing, you know, with the height and this, but I don't want to go into it because that's our subject. Hayarim mar atanim, which means really, Ayir ben atunot. So,
how does it tell you that they cut it, you know, in between?
They pass in between. You have other texts. From Luzi, not here. But this is, you see, when he says Hayarim mar atanim ushaktil, it means that he cut it's understood like I signed it on the last page or something. You understand? It's already mentally supplied within the text because it was so common. But it's very, very clear from Yirmiyahu and also from Bereshit that this is the way of making a treaty. You pass between the. I don't want to go into it because there is symbolism into it too. It's very interesting. Ait, Avar, Gereshtai, there's a whole symbolism of some people who wants to kill the treaty. Not to have the treaty signed, not to have the treaty confirmed, all kind of enemies, the height represent enemies. I cannot go into it. It's also in ancient Near Eastern text. But the idea is, Ayir ben Atonot, also from the Hebrew, Ayir ben Atonot, Osri lagefin Iro velasureka bni Atono. So there, yes, Iro means Ayir shelo, bni Atono is in parallelism. So take a look, they take Ayir ben Atonot, in Bereshit Memtet, they break it to two parallelism. Osri lagefen oiro, velasorka bni atono. Yes, you see they're taking one sentence and breaking to parallelism. So, the Mari letters are very, very important for us from the point of view of studying, and there are many, many, what you call a, for instance, let me give you one more example. You know, there is no word in Akkadian for a valley. Don't ask me why. Do you know what the people in Mari would use? What is this in Hebrew? Aemek. I told you Akkadian doesn't have an ayin. Hamku, Aemek. And many other words. So when once you study the Tanakh from the Northwest Semitic, chronologically you have to go for Mari. Chronologically you have to go Ugarit, Mari, and then Amarna, and then the inscriptions. If so, let's go a little bit to Ugarit. Now, Ugaritic is a very interesting language. They borrowed, Ugarit is exactly on the tip of of them on the Mediterranean, across from Cyprus. City of Ugarit, in Arabic, is Minat el Baida, till today. The white port, right, harbor, right. So, now in Ugarit is Kamaim Layam Echasim already from the point of view of the text. Why? Once in Canaan, they wrote on papyri. In Ugarit, they wrote on clay. Once in Akkadian, in Mari, and in Amarna, they wrote on clay. And clay, you write and you bake it and they could survive forever. In Canaan, they wrote on papyri. That's why we have now... Where is Sefer Yashar? Where is Sefer Divrei Shlomo? Where is Sefer Milhamot Hashem? Where is Sefer Sefer Divrei Hayamim Malchei Yehuda? Sefer Divrei Hayamim Malchei Yehuda? What do you think? Book of Kings is nothing. It's a drop of water what we have about the life of the kings. Asa Yashar b'ayne Adonai, Asa Ra b'ayne Adonai, gamarnu. Ma ze gamar? Malach Hasim Shana, Asa Ra, that's it? That's why the Deuteronomy was important for the Deuteronomy, if he was good or bad. I said it is the people that edited the first prophets. It was edited, no? It had to be edited, no? Who edited the first prophets? The Deuteronomist. Ele she'alchu achare sefer dvarim, she'lakhu ta filosofia shelahem mesefer dvarim. שריכוזה פולחן הם לא היו מעוניינים בדברים חילוניים. They were not interested in secular thing. I'm writing a book, ברוך השם 300 דפים כבר, on the royal gardens of antiquity, the gardens of the kings. Well, זה חשברוש, you know, in the garden, everything was in the garden, tricks and what not. The garden was the rose garden. So I'm studying. Where is the garden of Shlomo? Ma Shlomo lo alo gan melech? Kol ha melech hazeh shalu tukiyim veze vivi vkofiyim. Where? You compare the building of Bet HaMikdash that was what? 7 years. To compare to Solomon's palace of 13 years. What do you have for Solomon's palace? Eight verses. בנית המילו, בנית בית יער הלבנון, בנית בית בת פרעו, מה אנחנו יודעים כלום? ואחרי שהוא גמל לבנות לא עשו מסיבה, they didn't make a whole party and invite everybody, like in the time of Esther and Ahasuerus. Where is the garden of the king? We know about the garden of the king, גן המלך, צדקיהו ברח דרך גן המלך ליריחו. They were not interested in it. So many things were lost to us. And what we have outside of the Tanakh, those little inscriptions, means very little. Ugaritic brings tremendous, tremendous amount of knowledge into the biblical Hebrew, specifically from the poetic point of view. I shall not discuss poetry today. I shall not discuss parallelism, I shall not discuss synonymous parallelism, negative parallelism. I want to discuss some words from the lexicographical point of view, and this is the lectures, that how Ugaritic shed lights into the Hebrew Bible. Between Ugaritic on one hand, between the Amarna on the other hand, between the Mari, between East Semitic, Akkadian, between the inscription, this whole world takes a person to understand a biblical text. Hageonim. Rashi, Ibn Ezra, Ibn Janah, they are geonim, gedolim me'od. Be'ezrat Hashem, I'll prove next session how those geniuses knew without knowing Akkadian and knowing Ugaritic and knowing Phoenician and so on and so forth. How they conceived, because they have the sprachgefühl, they have the knowledge on their fingers. Please, Rabbi, I want you to open 2 Samuel 22:12, and you please open Psalms 18:12, Rabbi Berry, the two rabbis. Rabbi Berry, read Psalms 18:12. You know, this chapter in Tehillim is repeated in 2 Samuel 22. Rabbi Berry, could you read 22:12?
18:12.
Okay, Shkat Maim Avi Shachakim. Hey, Rabbi Shamash. The same chapter. Yo tengo problema, as they say. We have a problem over here. What is it? Hashkat maim, hashrat maim, ma omer po. Now you look at it. Oh, you don't have the English translation here. If you look at the English translation, ridiculous translations. Now, Hishka means Muhammad Hoshech. Hishkat Maim means the darkness of the water. What is Hashrat Maim? Do you ever think about it? This is the Aftara. Aftara for what is this? I forgot.
Azino.
Simple. This is not good. It means very little. This is good. And this is hathar in Ugaritic, which means in English sieve. Sieve where the water goes down. Hashrat mayim. Sieve, kemo kvara in modern Hebrew. You know kvara? You know when you make spaghetti, you take it and you say kacha mzeh? Kol ha-shamayim, ze hashrat mayim. It's like a sieve. And the water goes down. The rice sick. Hathar in Ugaritic.
Does this mean to say that Shemuel Bet is a more accurate text?
Absolutely.
Besides this particular item and other items?
this is my love. I love to compare those things and to come to the conclusion with my students. Which is more? I think Shmuel is more. But in this case, Hashrat Maim. By the way, this is Hapax Legomenon. This is only here. It's Mila Yechida, Mila Budedet. And Hashrat Maim is a sieve of water. Means the whole Hashamaim, Em Kemo Hashrat Maim, Shamaim Yordim. Next point in the.
And then you said that the Tet Resh.
This is not it.
Not it. How do you pronounce that?
Sau. Like, remember I spoke about Thor El last time?
Right.
Did I speak?
You did.
About the Bull El?
Right.
The Sau equals Shin. Right. And if you want to say, David did not say Hashrat Maim, but David says most probably Hashrat Maim. Sau. You can learn from this too about the pronunciation. It's not Hashra, it's Hathra. The Thau, which you know in Hebrew, the Taf, in Hebrew we used to have two phonemes once, as in Arabic and Ugaritic. One is a Thau and one is a Shin. But both merged to Hebrew as a Shin. to recognize when it is a strong shin, when it is a thou, you have to need comparative semitics. Here the shin is not shin because in Ugaritic is very clear a sign for thou.
So originally when it was written in Hebrew with a shin, they used to pronounce it
Hathra. Yes, they knew the word. Hathrat Maim. When I say to my students, they look at me like I am crazy. What Hathrat Maim? What is Hathrat? This is Hebrew. So I tell them, what do you think, Hebrew was born in Galicia? Truth, ma. You like it? I'm recorded on this. Shmuel Bet Perek Aleph. ויקונן דוד את הקינה הזאת על שאול ועל יונתן בנו ויאמר ללמד את יהודה קשת עיני כתובה על ספר הישר. איפה ספר הישר? הלוואי והיינו מוצאים ספר הישר, מי יודע מה, איזה דברים היו בספר הישר. הצבי ישראל על במותיך חלל, איך נפלו גיבורים. אל תגידו בגעת, אל תבשרו בחוצות אשקלון. פן תשמח לדקטר, this is classical poetry. פן תשמח לבלות פלישתים, תעלוז לבלות הערלים. הרי בגלבוע על טל ועל מטר עליכם ושדי תרומות, כי שם נגעל מגן גיבורים, מגן שאול בלי משיח בשמן. The mountains of Gilboa, no dew upon you, and no rain upon you, and no field of תרומות. What is it field of תרומות has to do you? Now this is a curse formula. A curse formula. Is that a curse formula? It is. He curses the mountains of Gilboa. So, doctor, when you study a text, you have to have the text also within the context of a parallel text, not a text, you know, like for instance, Hayari Mar Katalim, Maratanim Katalu, is parallel to the context of a treaty. That's why I brought it, not stand like this. So you have to go to your Ugaritic and to find out a text, which the text which have a curse formula. Now, Akhat, a carrot, is a very famous epic carrot, not going to go into it, curses the day. How does he curse the day? Curse the day that his son died. He burst in cursing. And he says, you would love this, if you don't know it by now. You love it. בל טל, בל רביב, שערים עלי רביבים. More ancient than the text over here, טל and רביב are more ancient than על טל ועל מטר עליכם. טל and רביב. If David says, על טל ועל רביב עליכם, הוא זה. בל, שין רש עין, this is a שין. This is the way that the internationally we vocalize the shin. Instead of shin, like the shin, this is the ayin. Tet hei mem taf mem tehomotayim. Hebrew shera tehomotayim. Upsurge of the deep. The ancient believed that the water comes from the top or from below. Complete drought. Drought? What the miracle? Drought. Remember in Noah, Arubot HaShamayim, Ma'ayinot Hom Rabbah. This is the ancient of the sea, the water. The curse of Keret, Bal Tal, Baal Matal, Bal Tal, Bal Raviv, Bal Shira, Tehomatayim, no upsurge of the deep. Instead of Zdei Terumot. You could accept it, you don't have to accept it. But this is a curse formula. And the curse formula is so similar that either that remote is right or Shrat remote is right. As far as I'm concerned, Shrat remote is right. Because the water of the deep, the water from the top. You want to accept it? Be my guest. No, we are still friends. Next. What?
What's
Upsurge. Tohomot of the deep.
Instead of terumot, it means
tohomot, yes. You know what? If I had, if it was a class of text, then I go and prove that the hay and the rest, there are cases like this, the hay and the rest.
That sometimes the resh took the place of the
hay. Because of the stroke of a scribe. A scribe, this text was orally transmitted, Rabbi, to the period of the Ben Naftali, Ben Asher, the Kvalo, and Ruma, the Shara'at and Omuta. And the Mikre, Yishlanu, Zibu, Ugaritit, by chance, we find it in Ugaritit. If we would not find it in Ugaritit, I would not say anything is wrong with this.
How large is the Ugaritic literature we have today?
How large? You see, in the Ugaritic literature, you have the consonantal script, and you have the Akkadian in Ugarit, which I will discuss by Zat Hashem, maybe the beginning of next class, the Akkadian of Ugarit, which is very interesting. The Akkadian that was written in Ugarit is also Mishprache and very Northwest Semitic. We'll discuss.
How large is the mass of material we have in Ugaritic?
From what point of view? 2,000 words.
No. I mean, what's the volume of material?
2,000 words.
No. I don't mean the number of words. I mean the number of documents, the number of...
Oh, lots of documents. We have epics, we have economic texts, we have medical texts. We have a text about the food of animals, you know. But the most important thing in Ugaritic is the poetic text, the Baal epic, the Keret epic, the Akkad epic.
Like if you put it all together, I'm saying that it comes out 10 times.
If you put it all together...
2,000 words?
Oh, that's a lot.
The Bible is 6,000 to 8,000
words. That's a lot. That's what we have. Who knows how many words they have.
The mass of the volume of the material of Ugaritic, we have, like when you put it, it comes out many volumes, it'll come out. Person who reads Ugaritic today, how much is there?
Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Bet, maybe.
Oh, that's what we have.
Shra?
Compared to the Akkadian, it's
not. Ah, Akkadian, Bechlal. It's a Kamaim Layam Hashim. Next, open please Job 38:16. Next point of clarification from the lexicographical point of view of the ancient Semitic world, specifically Ugaritic, into the biblical Hebrew. Job 38:16. Rabbi Berry, you would read this. Rabbi Shama, Job 28:11. Okay, Rabbi Berry, please,
38:16.
Job 38:16? Don't you have Habata ad Nivcheyam? Good. Very good. Habata ad nifche yam v'heker tehom ithalachta. Hashem shoelet Iyov, ma ata kokach hacham, ta yada ma shekore bifnim hayam, bifnim hayamim, ma ata bechlal po, yesh lecha zchut lidaber kenegdi. Ata lo mikir bechlal, you don't know how nature is working. Job 28:11, Rabbi, Shama.
I'm going to write this here.
Let's take the Seifa. Hashem yachol mita'aluma lotzi or, ma'atolama alam, ghalam, akabanamia, from the darkness. From the depth of the darkness, Hashem yachol asot or. Seder? Kol yachol. Mibchi naharot chibesh. As far as I know, mibchi means from the crying of the rivers, he binded. Does make any sense? From the crying of the rivers, Hibesh, he bound, Lahvosh, by Yahvosh Hamoro, Hibesh. Doesn't make any sense. Read your sentence. Good. זה ברור. מה מקביל לנבחי ים? תהומות. מה צריך להיות מקביל? What has to be parallel to תעלומה? מבקי נהרות הוביש. God dried up the sources of the rivers. ומתעלומה יוציא אור. Now the noon and the mem has no problems at all because they are interchangeable. The laminar, those letters, lamed, mem, nun, resh, are interchangeable. So nivchei Yam and Mabke Naharot means the same thing, means the understream of the water. And you know who sits there? El, the chief god of the Canaanite, chief god of the Canaanite pantheon. You know where he sits? Mabke Neharim, in the inner source of the streams of the water of the Naharot, which means the Naharot, which is in the sea, you know, in the, I don't know how to say it in English, you know, the Marbolot, what? The undercurrent of the sea. So Mabke Neharot Hovish, God is great. He could dry up the understream, the undercurrent of the rivers of the sea, not just the Jordan. Umeta'aluma yotzi or from the darkness, from something which is very hidden, something which is very deep, he could bring light. Are you surprised? Take a look at Isaiah 44:27, please. Ishaya Mem Daled Kaf Zayin. Mem Daled Kaf Zayin. מה כתוב שם? רבי ברי? Haomer Latsula Horavi, the one who say to the depth of the sea, dry up, and then Hovish, Mabke Naharot Hovish. No, Mabke Naharot Mibchi Naharot Hibesh. God is so omnipotent, great, that he could dry up the understream of the world, and many are like this. Isaiah 42, Hovish Agamim, Zechariah 10, Hovish Yeor, everything that could dry up, it seemed that amazing. Mabekei Neharot, I'm going to write it again. And Mabak means the understream of the water. It's nothing to do with the verb. Many people want to took it from the verb buch, to be confused. Mapke Mapke Naharot Hibesh Hovish. We want to ktiv ze. Hine. Ktiv haser, the best. Hovish. Habaya. Homiyot, homiyot, the het and the ha-het and the intangible. Homiyot, homiyot, the het and the... Now I want to touch one more point about Ugaritic, because there's no end to it. I just made a Xerox copy of a few inscriptions I want to read with you. One more point in Ugaritic as far from the point of view of parallelism. If you open, for instance, Isaiah 41:10, please. Isaiah, Ishayahu, 41:10. I think this you would love, and this will finish.
And this is my sleep.
Maybe when somebody wants to put a book with me about those, it's not chidushim sheli. I mean, this is people saw it, you know. Chidushim sheli. I told you why chidushim is lehadesh b'tanach to make new in Tanach is kol kach kasheh. But yes, what is this there? Rabbi Shama, please. Al tira. You want to read it, Rabbi Shama? Good. Al tira k'imcha ani. Al tishta, nachon? Ki? Ki ani elrecha. What is different? What is difficult word over here? Tishta. Apax legomanan pa'amahat. Now you don't need Ugaritic to understand what tishta. You just need to be Ibn Ezra. He say kefel lashon. Ibn Ezra said he doesn't know the words, the etymology of the words. He say kefel lashon 100 times. We'll discuss it next time. Not ashamed. Al tira k'imcha ani. Do not fear because I'm with you. Do not be afraid because I'm your God. Kefel lashon, but he doesn't know what the word means. The Levi Shata. Apax, once in Tanakh, means to be afraid, to fear. How do we know? Ugaritic. Text.
Where? Now all this Ugaritic, it's only the size of Shmuel, how Shmuel there?
I think so.
That's the whole thing.
I think so. I mean, from the
Ugaritic, they could do it. They can read the whole literature 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. You want? Next time, I'm going to bring the Ugaritic text, the epics.
The whole text. Is
yeah. No. Come on. I will come to the Arbe. I'm on the mode. Here, the strong, the hero Baal, the god, Yud, Resh, Aleph, Mem, Yara, Yerun, Shata'a, Thau, Thata'a, the no shin in Mekorit, it's not an original shin, like we discussed, Thor and this, Shata'a, Rochev Arafot, the rider of the clouds. Does it remind you something about the clouds? Tehilim Samechet, Rochev Arafot, rider of the clouds. This is the epithet of Baal. La'avdil elef avei avdalot ben Hashem Baal. Yara, pala el tushata. It's beautiful. Once it is tested, also once in Ugaritic. Pala el tushata and shata. You see how the tradition of Yirmiyahu, now this, 18th century before the era, and Yeshayahu is 8,000 years later. Still, the pair is kept in poetry. I have about 15 minutes. You see, I try to cover as much as I can within the time limit. I want to start with the first inscription. If you pay attention in this page that I distributed, I have made this little selections of inscriptions. The first is Ahiram inscription, a very famous inscription from the 10th century before the era. This is the very, very famous Ahiram that gave the Arazim, le David ve le Shlomo. Ahiram melech Tzor. This is the Ahiram. You know, we have an inscription of it. Beautiful. I wish I had some inscription of Shlomo. Then you have a Phoenician, this is from the 10th century. Then you have your Humilk inscription from the 7th.
We have some inscription with Ahiram who mentions Shilomo.
This is the inscription.
Mentions Shilomo?
Yes. And your humble servant wrote an article about it, which is quoted all over. I went against all Albright. I'll explain in a minute. This was my first article.
Does it say Shilomo ben David?
Huh?
Does it say Shilomo ben David by any chance?
No.
No, it doesn't mention David.
No. Albright. Albay, Albay, we are not being arrested. No, no, but this is the same Ahiram. Then you have a Kotovet of Yehumilk, another king of Gval, Gubla, Biblos. Then you have the Azitawada inscription, is the longest inscription in Phoenician, but I just had a little part of it. Then in Hebrew you have the Shiloah inscription. So the first three are Phoenicians. The fourth one is Hebrew. Then you have a Moabite inscription, the Mesha Melech Moab, the very famous Mesha in the time of Ahav. And then you have an Aramaic inscription, the Birakub inscription. Each inscription I could study with you for about 3 hours. But I'm going to read it like I read Yedioth Ahronot now. and Aaron Zu, let me read it for you. Aaron Zu Paoli to Baal ben Ahiram Melech Gvala Ahiram Avihu Kishati U Baolami.
What year is that place?
10th century. And I'll tell you where it is found in a minute. This is the first time that you're being introduced to a Phoenician. You know, this was a hot Shalah Ivrit. I will tell you Hebrew inscription, you wouldn't know from your, you know. Aaron Zu Paola Itobaal Ben Ahiram La Ahiram Aviu Kishati Ubaolami, Val Melech Bamlachin, the Sochen Basochnim, the Tome Mahanot, Aleg Val, Vigal Aaron Zet, Hasaf Hotel Mishpatot, Itapach Kisem Alho, Tahat Tivrah Al Nahat, Venahat Tivrah Al Geval, Vui Mahsifal Fafshoval. Here. This is a Phoenician inscription of the 10th century before the era in the time of Shlomo HaMelech. David. Ta'anug.
It's like a late Canaanite.
Yes. It's a Canaanite of the 10th century. Not the Canaanite of Amarna. Not the Canaanite of Amarna. Not the Canaanite of Ugaritic. It's 800 years after Ugarit. Put it in the chronological frame. Aaron, Mazar Aaron. Now, this inscription was found on the sarcophagus of stone of Ahiram. Sarcophagus means Aaron Amitim Shelo, from stone. The inscription was on the sarcophagus. Inscribe. Aaron, important, 100 times important. Why? The first time that Aaron is attested in the Tanakh is only once, to mean sarcophagus. Where? What do you learn from this? That Aranu is an Egyptian word, and he was buried in a sarcophagus, which the Egyptians used to bury, because the people in Canaan did not bury the stone, they buried in niches. And Vayasimu Ba'aron Be'Mitzrayim is only the first time that Aaron is attested as a sarcophagus with Yosef, and then Aaron Hashem, becomes later on is a different story. Aaron Zu. What do you learn from this? Very fast I'm doing it. This is the most ancient relative pronoun in Hebrew. Aaron which? Amzu Gaalta. Amzu Yatsarta. Am Asher Paalta. Am Asher Yatsarta. Am She Paalta. Am She Yatsarta. Aaron Zu. What do you learn? The relative pronoun in ancient Hebrew is Zu. Then it becomes Asher, and then it becomes She. Meaningly, ancient Hebrew, ancient poetry, Dr. Zu, Middle Hebrew, Asher, Late Hebrew, Altarun, She Ani Shehar Chore, She Zafat Mi Hashemesh, and whatnot. We could, you know, this, you learn today about ancient relative pronoun. Ito Baal is the very famous father of Izebel. So who was Izebel's grandfather? Ahiram. Ito Baal, which means in Hebrew, Baal is with him. Ito Baal. בעל את היסייד, להבדיל אלף אבללות, איתך אני להצילך, ירמיהו, I'm with you. בן אחירה מלך גבל, גבל היא ביבלוס. As you know, in Biblos was the very famous factory of תעשיית הנייר. Paper, and that's why you call Bible, comes from the city Biblos. Biblos is the Greek name of Gval. Gubla. Gubla is the ancient name for what the Greek says Biblos.
He was the king of...
Gval. No. אה, לא משנה, גבל, מלך גבל, because you see גבל, יש לנו שם גבל, if you pay, take a look at the account in what's his name, in שלמה עם מלכים, יש להם גבל לפעמים, יש לך צור, צידון, no, same cities, אחד יד השנייה, הוא שלט על הכל אז. שמת בזה חירה מלך צור, עלי חירה מלך גבל, you understand? להחירם אביהו, take a look at the ending of the third person masculine ending. Hey, not Vav. I could speak about Zu and this for half an hour to go for examples. Take a look, for instance, in Yirmiyahu, for the masculine ancient ending in Yirmiyahu, Perek Aleph. Where was it? Yirmiyahu, Perek Aleph. לא, כן. לא, ירמיהו פרק ב' פסוק ג'. אם אתה רוצה לתת תשומת לב, בבקשה, תפתח את זה ותקח לוק. קודש לישראל, קודש ישראל אדוני ראשית תבואתו, with a hey ending. The most ancient ending. The vav ending is late. His תבואה. And many others like this. עושרי לגפן עירו, with a hey. ולסורקה בני אתונו, with vav.
You see, but in poetry, it's more acceptable.
This one, I want to give a course in biblical poetry, starting with the most ancient poetic Shmot Edvav. Shmot Edvav, אחר כך הלכנו ל... לא, איך קוראים לזה? אז יש שיר Shmot Edvav. אחר כך הלכנו לשירת דבורה. ואחר כך עברנו משם לבראשית, I mean, לתהילים כפתר. ומשם הלכנו לשירת האזינו. כל הפו... זה משהו מקסים. It is amazing when you study it in the light of the Semitic. Everything becomes very, very clear. So, not everything. Still have questions. So, this is sarcophagus, he says. Keshati hu ba'olami. This is my contribution to this small little inscription. It's an inscription of the 10th century, but you're... Your humble servant really clarified it once for good. Keshati hu ba'olami. Anybody? The verb is shit, shin yu taf. Shin yu taf means lasim. Shittu libhem l'chela, pasgu armenotea. Shit means sim, in very ancient Hebrew. You have shit, you have the order is, the most poetic shit, then Shafat, Shin Pei Taf, then Sim, then Natan. Keshati hu, when he put him, when he placed him, and my contribution is here, Ba Olami, and I read, Bei Olam, instead, Bet Olam, in the grave. Bet Olam, what we have in Yelech Adam El Bet Olamo. 10th century already. It's accepted all over.
You published that one?
Yes, this is my first article was published, because when I finished my PhD, I said the first article I published in Hebrew. And I published it in Leshonenu, before the Academy of Hebrew Language. He'ara l'ktovet Ahiram. Ve'en achat shekotev al zeh ve'lo mtzatet. Keshati hu ba'olami. Robert Olam read. Why, yes. I'm not going to bother you with my article. Akedian, Shuba Darati. Shevet Olam. Do you remember we spoke about semantic equivalent? Daratu in Akedian is like dor dor, which means forever, means olam. Shubat shubtu, shevet olam, bet olam oto davar. Bet olamo kvar nimtza bekohelet. Ma ze moha? It's already in Kohelet. And there's other texts that earlier than Kohelet. I've proved it, but I cannot go into it now. That's not the point. Okay. Ve'im melech ve'al. Al is the ve'im melech bamlachim. If a king among kings. You see the bet of among, bet preti. Bet preti among. If king a king among kings. Ve'sochen basochnim. And vaisos among vaisos. Ve'tome machanot. Tome Machanot is Akkadian influence of Phoenician. Tamu in Akkadian means a commander. It's not Hebrew anymore. But we don't have it in Tanakh. Phoenician, Tome. Tome Machanot, a commander of the armies. Alei Gval, on top of Biblos. Vigal Aronze, if he will expose the sarcophagus, תתחשף חוטר משפטו. The stick of his משפט, the staff, חוטר המשפט שלו, תתחשף, will be broken. תתהפך כיסא מלכותו. Overturn. ונחת תברח על גבל. And peace will be away from גבל. והוא, as far as he is concerned, the person who desecrate the Aron Metim, like we do today in Modi'in, should give it to the Satmer. Sifro means his destiny. Timheni mi sifrecha. Al timheni. I cannot go into it in details. I'm just giving you the gist. Lefaf shoval from the fringe. Next, Yuhumilk. I just want you to read it just to enjoy the ancient Phoenician. The Yuhumilk is a building inscription. This was a inscription on the sarcophagus. Yuhumilk was a king in the dynasty of Gval, I think the third or fourth dynasty. Here's the inscription. Bait zu, a house which, bana Yuhumilk melech Gval. Ha'et have kol mapolet abatim. אל יערך בעל שמם ובעל גבל ומפחרת אל גבל קודשם ימות יחומילק ושנתו על גבל כי מלך צדיק ומלך ישר לפני אלי גבל קדושים הוא. מה אומר יחומילק? בית זה, which means this temple, this palace, בית is a palace, בנה יחומילק מלך גבל, העת, very difficult, חיווה כל מפולת הבתים. He restored the old temples. חיווה חייה. לחיות, או להחיות means to restore. את מפולת הבתים, you see me, the palaces which were in ruins, not in complete ruins, but which you had to make a renovations. אם יעריך בעל שמם, בעל שמיים, which means the בעל, ובעלת גבל, see the goddess and the god, which means Ishtar, ומפחרת אל גבל, and the assembly, פוחור אילי, in Akkadian, the assembly of the god, which means סוד קדושים. פוחור אילי, רבי, סוד קדושים. Akkadian, פוחור אילי, is the influence of Akkadian, the assembly of the gods, of Biblos, ימות, they should prolong Yemot Ahimelech, the days of Ahimelech Ushnato, Yamim Veshanim, Elishne, Yeme Haye Sara. Yemot and Shanim. Al Gval on Gval, Kimelech Tzadik, Umelech Yashar, Lifne Ele Gval Kedushim, who?
Who's Yahamil?
A king! With the king, with the Phoenician king.
And Biblos is what?
A very famous Phoenician city.
New Jersey.
Yatzor in Sidon. If Maita mi Libnan, Maita there, I for the Biblos. Biblos came at Adayon. This is a small village, a fisher village.
It's a ruins also.
Hmm?
The ruins hundreds of Biblos.
Biblos, yes, hundreds of Biblos. I'm not going to read you Azita Wada because it's getting late. I'm going to read you the Shiloah inscription, Hebrew inscription, Shiloah, Jewish inscription, the Jewish, yeah, Hebrew inscription. Yes, Hanikba, Zot Hanikba. This is the tunnel, Nikba, Lo Ta'ala. V'ze haya dvar Nikba. This is the story of the Nikba. בעוד מניפים החוצבים את הקרזן איש הרעהו, I'm reading this modern Hebrew. By the way, doctor, I could restore this to the pronunciation of the 8th century, but I'm reading it as modern Hebrew, like from Tzfon Tel Aviv now, from north of Tel Aviv. With the chet and the resh, you know. זאת הנקבע וזה היה דבר הנקבע. בעוד מניפים החוצבים, בעוד מניפים החוצבים, חוצבים means the one, the cutters, את הקרזן איש הרעהו, you see, when they cut the nikba, they cut it from both sides, and they met in the middle. Uvaot shlosh amot lihin nakev. Take a look at the beautiful, beautiful nifal. Nifal of the 8th century. I love it. Although it's restored with a bet, but it's nifal, lihin nakev. Nishma, otam nifal. Kol ish kore re'eu.
The nishma, they restored all three letters, it looks like.
Yeah. Kol ish kore el ra'eu. Yes. But this is the best restoration you can, you know. You could do anything that you want, Rabbi. El ra'o davka, not el ra'eu. Ki aita zada bitzad miyamin. Zada means a crack. Okay, now we have a broken text.
That's what he means to say. You were able to hear the voice because there was a crack in the stone?
Yeah, most probably. They continue to beat, you know, to excavate the tunnel. Garzen al garzen, vayilchu amayim min hamotza. May Hashiloah haolchim leat. Beautiful. Vayilchu amayim min hamotza, from its source el abrecha, to the very famous Shiloah pool. Bemataim ve'elef ama umeat ama yagova hatzur al roshavim. So it gives you the height of the tunnel. Next.
Can you read it originally?
The Moabite inscription. Mesha Melech Moab, 8th century. Anochi Mosha ben Kmosh, Kmoshit. Melech Moab. Kmosh, Melech Moab. Which means, Kmosh is the very famous Ha'el Shel HaMoavim. Kmosh. Hadivani. אבי מלך על מואב 30 שת שנה שתה. That's why the Moabite is very close to Aramaic. See, Rabbi, the Moabite, if I could, you know, if I'll teach it, you know, I would go to Shata and so Akkadian Shat too.
But you said Aramaic doesn't fit into that language.
No, it's very close, very close, because Moabite has some Aramaic dialect which came from also the Bilam inscription that we have. Excuse me, and then you have the Nabataeans, which were in the same place. Absolutely.
Dir
al-Allah. Dir al-Allah is a Moab. A beautiful inscription, Dir al-Allah. I want to write an article on it. You see, because I claimed my dissertation, I wrote a dissertation on ancient Aramaic inscription in light of Akkadian. I proved, and it's accepted, that before the Dir al-Allah and the other Telfrachia inscription were found, that you have a bilingual, you have Aramaic and Akkadian. Before this was discovered 5-6 years ago, but the dissertation was about 16 years ago, I proved that the Aramaic scribe learned in Akkadian school in order to write royal inscriptions. Last time could be him. Scribes! And how he used typical idioms, technical terminology, translated from Akkadian. We have also a picture of Tupsharu Aramiya and Tupsharu Akkadia. Tupsharu is a Tifsar, which means a scribe, a Tifsarim. Tupsharu, Tupu, Tupu Mubano. All right, so, yes, so Mesha has a tendency for Aramaic, absolutely, Shatta. ואנוכי מלכתי אחר אבי ואעס הבמת הזאת לחמוש, הבמות, you know, the high place for חמוש בקורחה. כי הושיעני, it's broken there, כי הושיעני מכל המלכים. You see the shin there? Now pay attention that the shin and the mem are interchangeable. In ancient Hebrew script, what do you think? You think there's everything on the computer?
Spell check.
Here is the mem. Here is the shin. Here is the mem. This stroke. So. Yeah, but I write it this way because you know I stand like this. I don't stand like this. You know? No, because you know I'm my standing, but. No, but I did it because I stand the right way. Yes. כן. כי הושיעני מכל המלכים וכי הראני בכל שנאי. הראני בכל שנאי. להראות ב- means he took revenge on all my enemies. הראה ב- is an idiomatic expression גם בתנ"ך. והראני בכל שנאי, עומרי מלך ישראל. This is most important thing. עומרי מלך ישראל. First time is mentioned in a not Hebrew inscription. And Israel is the first time which is mentioned in Northwest Semitic inscription, because Israel is mentioned once in the Mar Niftah inscription, in the Egyptian, but it's not. But over here, Melech Israel, Vayanu et Moav Yamin Rabin. Take a look at the doctor, the Nun and the man. You see the influence of Arabic. Yamin Rabin, because Yamim Rabin. Vichira. I'm sorry. כן, ימין רבין, כי ינאף כמוש בארצו, הוא כועס, אם כמוש יכעס על ארצו, כי יחרה אף כמוש בארצו, ויחליפהו בנו בנו, ויאמר גם הוא אענה את מואב בימיין סון סופר, ויראה בה ובביתה, אשר ריבנג' ישראל וישראל עבוד עבד עולם, וישראל עבוד עבד לעולם, אינפיניטיב אבסולוט פלוס, the finite verb, avod, avad, aloch, alach. Yashov, yashav. It's beautiful. Okay, next. The last one is a real Aramaic inscription, the Biraki inscription. Ana, you see, the Ana, it's kvar lo ani, it's kvar lo anochi. You see, in Azitavada, the anochi, you see, anach, in number 26, anochi. אז יבדה ברוך בעל פה, ענה ברקו בר פנמו המלך סמל. סמל was a city state in North Syria. עבד תגלת פיל עשר, not a slave, but rather the vassal of תגלת פיל עשר. עבדך means your vassal. מרי רבעי ערכה, the king of the four quarters of the world. שר, כברתים ארבעים, מלך ארבע כנפות הארץ. בצדק אביו ובצדקי. Because of my loyalty, not my righteousness, because of my loyalty to you, to Tiglath-Pileser, the Assyrian king, and because of the loyalty of my father, Hoshivani Mar'ir Chuv'el Mar'ir Tiglath-Pileser al Karsa Avi. Karsa, Karsa, instead of Kiseh, Aramaic. But you see how close it's to Hebrew. You see how this is the ancient Aramaic, then the biblical Aramaic, the Aramaic of Elephantina, then how Aramaic developed. He caused me to rule or to sit. He set me on the chair of my father. Ovet Avi Amel Min Kol, and the dynasty of my father toiled from everybody else. Amel, Amal in Kohelet. Veratzti Begalgal Mar'i Melech Ashur. I ran in front of the wheel of my king, the king of Assyria. I mean, this is a servitude. This is a sign of vassalship. לרוץ לפני הזה, וכן מראים מלך אשור, במציאת מלכים רברבין, in the midst of, באמצע המלכים רבים, מלכים גדולים, בעלי כסף ובעלי זהב, ואחוזות, ואחנו, ובעלי זהב, ואחז בית אבי והתפתיה, I have improved, the house I grasped the house of my father, which means the temple is a temple, and I had taftia, I improved it. Min bet had melachin rav ravin from all the other great kings. Vihitna abu ahay malchaya lechol matavad beiti. And my allies, not ahay, my brothers, my allies, the other king, hitna abu, lasted from the verb ta'av. Hitna abu, most probably he's from ta'av, but is interchange of the nun and the taf. Lechol matavad biti, for all the goodness of my palace. Uvei tav laisha. And a good house they don't have. La ishu in Akkadian. When Aramaic, la itai. Aramaic, la itai, a classical Aramaic.